Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This year marks the 40th anniversary of the signing of the federal law to make today a national holiday, Martin Luther King Day, a moment that was years in the making. Here is what Coretta Scott King said that day in 1983.
America is a more democratic nation, a more just nation, a more peaceful nation, because Martin Luther King Jr. became her preeminent nonviolent commander.
But it took a lot of work to get the law signed and to make this a federal holiday and in all of the states. To talk about that, we have David Eichard, professor of African American and Diaspora Studies at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. David, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us how this journey began. I understand the initial proposal to make this a federal holiday began just a few days after Dr. King was assassinated, when many cities in this country were still in flames, Chicago, D.C., New York.
Oh, absolutely. John Conyers, congressman out of Michigan, proposed the holiday. And you have to remember, you know, I think folks don't really kind of understand the climate of the time. About two-thirds of white Americans in 1968 actually opposed Martin Luther King. They thought he was a rabble-rouser, a troublemaker. A lot of people blamed him for civil unrest because of all the marches and the protests. And shockingly to a lot of folks today is that about 50% of African Americans were opposed to Martin Luther King at the time because they thought that some of his, you know, stances on civil rights had created tension for them and made their social and work spaces very, very tense and promoted a lot of white backlash against black folks. So you had a country that was already divided.
And then John Conyers, the congressman, kept on year after year, more than a decade. Eventually, 1979, and the House finally takes a vote. This is the Carter administration now, and they need a two-thirds majority. Is this a dramatic moment, 1979, in Capitol Hill, when this comes up for a vote?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the getting to that point in 11 years where you actually have a bill on the floor that's being voted on, there is some momentum. A lot of black Democrats thought it would be in the Carter administration, given his pro-union support. Folks will recall Martin Luther King was actually in Memphis to support black sanitation workers who were fighting for a livable wage and better working conditions when he was assassinated. And so one of the staunch supporters of the holiday from jump were unions. And union organization also helped elect Carter to the presidency. He gained a lot of support from them. And so they kind of felt this was their moment to push the bill through. They were accumulating a lot of support from Democrats, and they were starting to see growing support among Republicans. I think they fell like four votes short, and eventually the bill was pulled.
The proponents keep pushing. And a couple years later, a key endorsement comes from Stevie Wonder. I just never understood how a man who died for good could not have a David Woods. He said, aside for his recognition. Here is Stevie Wonder talking about writing this version of Happy Birthday and why he released it at the time.
Outside of giving a day to a man who died for the principles of this country, would be a day for us to reflect upon our responsibility as human beings, as recognizing all of those who have lived and died for the principles of peace and unity and equality for all people.
David Eichard, was this an important moment in the public conversation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When, first of all, Stevie Wonder is known and has been since, you know, he started making music as a child, as an outspoken voice on civil rights, on human rights. He had actually approached Coretta Scott, and, you know, spirits were low because a lot of Black folks just didn't think that this was just going to be something that was going to happen. And Coretta Scott King was very pessimistic about the possibilities of its passage. And Stevie Wonder came to her and said, "No, I have a dream, right, that this would come to pass." And as a result, he put together this song as both a tribute, but also as a rallying cry to keep the effort strong. And then he organized several events and marches on Washington to create the momentum around it. And what happened as a result of this campaign that Stevie Wonder embarked on is that it gained so much traction that by the time that vote came to the floor again in 1983, it enjoyed not only overwhelming support from Democrats, but also of Republicans.
And I want to ask you about that. In 1983, it passes in the House, as you say, and we know our schoolhouse rock. It then has to go over to the Senate. And we get fireworks in the man of Jesse Helms, Republican of North Carolina, a longtime opponent of civil rights legislation. How did Jesse Helms try to slow this down?
Well, Jesse Helms made it clear in no uncertain terms that he thought Martin Luther King was a communist. He thought he was anti-American. Jesse Helms' opposition to civil rights of any kind, it's almost infamous, right, in terms of the annals of history. And so when it looked like they had a veto-proof vote in Congress and it looks like they were barreling towards a veto-proof vote in the Senate, he put together a file of salacious rumors and other types of damning information, most of it unverified, passed it out, and it was, you know, panned by a lot of his colleagues. In fact, Daniel Patrick Moynihan actually slammed the file on the floor and stepped on it, right? And but what was kind of also telling about that particular moment was when asked about, you know, when Ronald Reagan was asked about what Helms was doing, what he thought about this file, and he didn't denounce it and said that the truth would come out in 30 some years, suggesting that somehow in very, you know, dog whistle kind of politics way that there was legitimacy to what Helms was actually putting forth.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, of course, Ronald Reagan signs it in 1983. And
yes.
Then the fight moves to the states, whether the states adopt it as a state holiday. And some of us remember a big fight in Arizona. The NFL actually moved the Super Bowl out of the state when this holiday at the state level was not approved in Arizona. But here we are, where we are today. It took a generation for these efforts to reach fruition. As you look back, let me ask you, what should we make of this long effort that took a generation to make it the holiday it is today?
Excellent question. First and foremost, as we have seen, have been horrifying witness to on January 6th, is that the things that we have fought so hard for in this country, in this experiment that is a representative democracy, that our freedoms, that our, you know, the things that we enjoy as a society, these are things that should not be taken for granted. These are things that we should not take lightly. Martin Luther King said in his famous letter from a Birmingham jail, "It takes more than individuals of goodwill to change the nature, the tenor of a country, because people tend to fall in line behind power and the privilege that certain kind of powers, you know, extend to them. And that if you want change, if you want to maintain a democracy, then you have to fight for it." And I think what we recognize, particularly because we're in a moment of a lot of political turmoil where we're seeing, you know, people who are openly white supremacists running for political office and some winning. And we see this kind of resurgence of white supremacy all around us. And it's just a reminder as King had said and embodied in his life, that if we don't continue to uphold and fight and agitate for our rights, for a society that does not base its privilege on someone's skin color or sexuality or race, if we don't continue to fight that, if we don't continue to fight for that, for equality, then it can be taken away. It is not guaranteed at all.
That's David Eichard, professor of African American and Diaspora Studies at Vanderbilt University, talking to us about the long journey of this holiday, Martin Luther King Day, in this chapter of The Arc of History, as Dr. King put it. David Eichard, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Again.